think that's an interesting path to take right now, is to think about what are the spaces of democracy and how the physical sites and spaces of democracy condition the way that democratic thought is built and constructed. So Marion Gannon, who is an artist, writer, and teacher based in New York, will discuss her project, Cowl Constitutions, presenting that question, the relationship between the site where democracy actually takes place, and in particular parliamentary democracy, in relationship to a more conceptual understanding of the architecture or the building of a newly formed state. Thank you.
Hi, thanks everyone for being here, and thank you to Sergio Hertz and to Oliver and Carlos for inviting me. Okay, so let me see if I can just get this to a slightly more perfectly visible version. No, it doesn't really want to be. Okay, we'll just view it partially, and I'll scroll around and scroll down and play with it a little bit while I'm talking.
Try up the lines.
There we go. That's better. Okay. So, I'm going to return a bit to one of the questions that Carlos brought up in his introductory talk, which is the question of what does democracy look like? And this is also touching on many of the questions that Jennifer raised during her presentation. I would like to propose that we begin from an understanding that democracy is a process rather than a structure. And this is a process that is constantly constructed and reconstructed in the interaction between the citizens and the state. If a state exists, if a state exists in any kind of condition where the citizens can reasonably interact with it. Now, if you're in a place like Afghanistan and a time like the end of 2003, when there is no real structure of a state, all previous structures that might have been called a state have been either destroyed or completely discredited, then the notion that democracy, or anything that we might call a structure, is actually a process, becomes a completely self-evident thing, because it has to be rebuilt, it has to be remade, it has to be reimagined, and that becomes a very, very active process. So everyone understands that it is, in fact, a process, something that they are participating in actively. So then the question becomes, how is this process represented in or mapped onto or worked through the physical structures that are used to implement it? And here's where my project comes in. So you're looking at an actual a map of an architecture of democracy, which was a peculiarly literal institution of an architecture of democracy, because it was built to construct another architecture of democracy. It was built specifically for two jirgas, the emergency Loya Jirga held in 2002 and the constitutional Loya Jirga held at the end of 2003 in Afghanistan. And the emergency Jirga was when the transitional administration was put into place, and the constitutional Loya Jirga, as you might guess from its name, was the Constitutional Assembly. When Afghanistan's current constitution was amended and voted into effect by a group of representatives from all over the country. So I was actually there for 2 weeks of the four-week assembly, and I made a documentary of this assembly, but I decided that I really wanted to test a bit how such a thing could be represented. And while doing this, I took my cues from the way that the process itself was represented to the participants during the process of the assembly. So I'm just going to show you a little bit of how this works. Uh, So you can click around this little map here, and it'll open up different structures. The Jirga was held in a tent complex. Yeah. And the tent complex included all these different auxiliary tents around the central kind of plenary tent structure. There were auxiliary tents and security structures surrounding this central thing. So you may well ask, why a tent? And why spend, as UNAMA and the Afghan government and the donors did, $1.5 million building a tent or a series of tents? This is because the tent is a very important form for Afghan democracy historically. The Jirga is a very particular kind of democratic assembly. And a Jirga is always held in a tent. That's part of its nature. A Jirga is a temporary assembly that is convened specifically to make decisions about one issue. And traditionally, a Jirga would be convened by bringing together all the elders of all the tribes. And the tent would be a temporary structure that would be set up and then taken down after 3 days once the decision had been made. But because this particular Jirga was being put together not solely by the Afghan government but also by its international partners, the form of the Jirga, this traditional form, became somewhat amended. And the idea of representation had to be also amended, and the methods by which people could become representatives for this Jirga also had to be amended. So there were several changes made to the traditional Jirga process, one of them being that representatives to the assembly were elected, and there was a quota system. The quota system was put in place to assure proportional representation of different ethnicities and of women, as well as men. That didn't mean that there were as many women as men, it meant that there were a quarter as many women as men, but that there were women, which was not traditional in Jirgas. And then there was also another kind of element of this Jirga process that is not necessarily self-evident, and was not also traditional, which is that there were a number of people present who were not actually participants in the process of decision-making that was meant to take place at this assembly. There were a number of other people there. The delegates were sitting in this central section of the plenary tent here. Those are the delegates you see there underneath this tent ceiling that's draped with the colors of the Afghan flag. But there were also a number of other people present who were observers of different kinds. And there was a very curious choice made in this space of the plenary tent, which was to divide everyone spatially by their roles. And everyone had assigned seating in the tent, which was actually color-coded on the map that you were given when you arrived. It was color-coded by your role in the constitutional process, or lack thereof, and your color corresponded to the pass that you were given to enter and exit the tent, your access pass, and your pass actually identified you by your role. Were you a government observer, for example? Who were meant to be merely observing, but in fact had a good deal of influence over the process? Were you a foreign diplomat? They were on this little seating section over to the side. Oh, curious, doubling it. itself. These are the official foreign observers. Were you a member of the Constitutional Commission? The people who drafted the Constitution were also present. Or one of the kind of miscellaneous guests. That's actually where I was sitting. I was a miscellaneous guest. Here. And we have a view of the delegates from the guest section. Or were you a member of the press? And the press played a very important role in this assembly, in both representing it to itself while it was happening, and then creating the narrative of the assembly that would then be carried forward into history, because everyone there had a very active sense of participating in the creation of a historical moment, which is a curious thing to experience, the feeling of being in the present of a historical moment, something that will pass into the past and become history very quickly. And the press were everywhere in this tent. There was also a camera. There was a stationary camera and two mobile cameras that were filming everything to go out live. The entire assembly was going out live on AFAN TV, the national TV station. And you could actually see the A roll and B roll of what was going out on AFAN TV inside the tent. It was being mirrored back to all of us on two large screens that were to either side of the speaker's eyes. So you could see your own participation mirrored back to you at all times on these screens. One of the things that I found really curious about the press, the media representation of the assembly at the time, was that there were no cameras visible in any of the photographs that were printed in the press that were shown in the media reporting at that time in traditional media, which was really bizarre to me, because not only was the press there, but also all of the delegates had cameras, and they were constantly documenting themselves, and also many of the soldiers who were guarding the tent had cameras and were documenting themselves. So there really were cameras everywhere, and yet the press felt this need, which was really curious to me. It was strange. They felt this need to completely edit out the presence of the cameras, as if this really insistent media presence was something that would taint the immediacy or reality of the, or importance somehow, of the assembly. The other thing that I found really troubling about the assembly when I saw some of the reporting of it, and also later many of the documentaries that were constructed about it, was something that also struck me when I was experiencing it, which is that it was so much more interesting than I thought it would be, or than I, you know, had expected it would be from all the reports of similar events, or all the documentaries of similar events, or all the kind of depictions of similar events that I had ever seen. And this is because, I came to realize, all of these events are constructed retrospectively from a knowledge of how everything ends, from the consensus that is reached at the end of the process. And everything that didn't, in fact, every part of the process that didn't in fact contribute to that final consensus, to that final agreement, is edited out, is left out of the narrative. It's left out of the historical narrative, finally, usually, as well. And it's certainly left out of these sort of early historical narratives that are made in the year or so, 2 years, immediately after an event like this. And this to me seems like a real pity, because the thing that is so fascinating about an event like this when you're in the middle of it is how much is happening at the same time, how messy and unpredictable it all is. How many people are trying to advance different agendas all at the same time, you know, 90% of which don't go anywhere. It's really like a three-ring circus, you know. It's not at all like a boring, stuffy succession of speeches. It's a really intensely human thing. And I wanted to try and find a way to preserve some of that messiness, the opacity of the process also, where you don't actually need to necessarily know how A led to B to led to C led to D, and finally we arrived all at E together. Instead, just to sort of experience what it felt like to be there, to participate. And so I arrived at this mechanism of mapping the process onto the space in an extremely literal way. And I could only show you a tiny, tiny bit of it, but it's all there online, actually. And you can sample more of it if you're interested. But my time is up. Thanks.